You're locked into the only podcast for Maine high school basketball. The biggest names, past and present. It's Big Time Hoops, the podcast, right now.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Big Time Hoops, the podcast. And we're traveling north. We're traveling as far north as you can go. To the greatest town in the entire state and the greatest university in the land, my alma mater. And we got the women's basketball coach at the University of Maine at Fort Kent. We got Fletcher Brown making his second appearance on the podcast. He's a veteran now. Fletcher, what's going on, man? We talked a little bit about what life's like up there, but for the folks out there, how's life with the school back in session now?
Well, hey, man, first, thanks for having me. It's awesome to be back again. You've been doing some great stuff. This whole podcast has grown a lot since you started. You've had some great guests. I listen to pretty much all of them. It's great to stay kind of glued into what's going on with Maine Hoops, and you're doing a great job, man.
Appreciate that.
Life in Fort Kent with pandemic and back to school, it's been a little bit different. Fortunately, you know, like we said earlier, we're in a pretty safe spot. We're a little bit isolated. We're pretty far north. So we don't, you know, we haven't had too many cases throughout the summer, and we've been taking every precaution. Our school's done a great job of social distancing and wearing masks and washing hands and following protocols and stuff. So we're making it work.
So you mentioned kids are back on campus now, and there was that initial quarantine for like 48 hours or so, but workouts are going to be starting up soon. So what does it look like for the kids? It's not going to be your typical preseason like years past. So what's it look like for you guys, and what kind of protocols are you guys putting in place to kind of get through this in a safe manner?
Yeah. So we're going to get started in about a week from now. We're going to start some strength and conditioning things, and then we'll give it another few weeks, and we'll start jumping on the court in small groups, just doing a lot of skill development. What I've been telling my team is that, you know, unlike most years when we're going to be playing in, you know, 5 or 6 weeks, it might not be until January or maybe even February when we're going to start actually playing. So we have this whole semester to do a lot of, make a lot of growth. We're going to get so much stronger. We're going to really work on our skills. We're not going to be doing too much, you know, too many suicides or wind sprints or anything like that. We're going to keep it light. We're going to keep it fun. A lot of room just to get better as players and students and people. We're doing some strength and conditioning starting early next week. We'll hit the weights. And then after that, a few weeks later, we'll get on the court in small groups. The number of people that can be in our weight room and in our gym is limited right now. We're not going to be able to get all the full roster in there at once, but we'll be in small pods, just getting a lot of shots up, you know, a lot of cone drills, individual skill work, skill development stuff. And that's part of the game that I like probably the most. So it's going to be fun. I'm really looking forward to it.
Yes, you mentioned a couple of things, and one of them being that the season is not going to start on time. It's probably going to be not until 2021 in which you guys start playing games.
Yeah.
Coaching itself in general has challenges, right? So one of these new challenges, along with everything that's coming to you, trying to run a program in a pandemic, is keeping players motivated, right? Because it's one thing to like have kids on campus and be like, all right, we have our first game in 2 months, so we got to get to work. Yeah. Like, how do you keep these kids motivated and just putting in the work when they're not going to be playing for another like 6 months?
Yeah, no, I've got my work cut out for me. That's for sure. That's a tough question. I think I've been fortunate to really recruit some real gym rats. All the kids that we have this year, whether they're coming back or whether they're new kids, they have great attitudes. They love the work. They embrace the whole grind of it. And they know that we will get back to playing at some point. And, you know, I've been telling them since we started, since the news broke that we weren't going to play until probably January, I said, hey, we can look at this one of two ways. We can either be down in the dumps and bummed out and you know, start eating, you know, throw away our diet and everything, or we can just look at it as a great opportunity. So that's kind of the way that we've been looking at it. And like I said, it's going to be a lot of fun. Keeping them motivated is going to be tough. Hopefully we can mix in things here and there where we try and have fun. You know, maybe we'll play kickball one day, or maybe we'll, play tag or dodgeball or something, you know, anything to mix it up, keep it light while at the same time getting the work in. So It's going to be tough, but I'm optimistic.
Another one of the challenges, too, that you guys must have faced is your team is not made up of a lot of local kids, right? And you got players from all across the country, so just getting them here, I'm guessing. kind of challenges. And then also along with that, were you monitoring players' health in the off season? Like, because I'm sure you got some kids that are coming to you from hot spots. Like, is that something you guys track? Is that something you guys paid attention to, like during the summer? Or is it just more so they're here now? We'll worry about it now.
Yeah, a little bit of both. In terms of the Maine recruiting thing, I would love to get more kids from Maine. As you know, Maine is a great state for basketball, especially girls and women's basketball. There's also a lot of really good programs, especially in the southern part of the state. So it's hard to get a lot of girls to come up to Fort Kent. So I have to do a lot of recruiting remotely. I got to kind of think out of the box. So we've done a lot of recruiting in California. Recently, we got our first recruit from Florida. Our other coaches do a great job of recruiting internationally. So, you really got to beat the bushes and try and find the kids as best you can. In terms of their health over the summer, we do have one girl from Florida. We do have a couple from Los Angeles, Los Angeles area. So those are two hot spots. The school did a great job of creating a whole protocol and a whole system for getting them tested when they arrive on campus. Free for the students, and then having them quarantine until they can get a second negative result. So they put in a lot of different rules and regulations to try and keep everybody as safe as possible. But there was those couple of days, like you get them on campus, you shake their hand, you shake their parents' hand, and you don't know. So it was a little bit scary, to be honest with you, but it all worked out. So I'm fortunate for that.
Another thing, too, that you just touched on, I think you guys may not be hurting in this regard versus other programs, because we had Tom Biskup on last week. He was talking about how they've had to resort to virtual recruiting, like everything online and stuff like that. But you guys must be feeling right at home, because that's how you guys have probably been doing it for a while. Because like you said, you have to go out and get creative to bring these kids in. You guys have had a ton of success out there in California. So like, you guys have been built to recruit in the pandemic, basically, right?
Yeah, I mean, it was recruiting this year was frustrating. We had a number, I think all of our coaches had a number of players that committed, and then, a couple months later they had to decommit for whatever reason, just based on things that happened with their family and all that type of stuff. But recruiting remotely is something that I'm definitely used to, and I know Coach Bird is used to, and with the men's basketball team. FaceTime tours, getting on Zoom, writing letters, speaking on the phone with parents. It's we don't have the budget to fly a kid out from California. So we got to do what we can. So this year, the only thing that really was a bummer is that we didn't get a chance to take our recruiting trip. We can afford one trip a year where we can go meet these kids in person and really talk to their families and their coaches in a more personal setting. We didn't get a chance to do that this year, but other than that, it was pretty much business as usual, getting on the phone, email, text, all that stuff. So
you guys have had plenty of success recruiting out there on the left coast, so you got some Cali connections, but what is it about California, like how have you guys been so successful? And I mean if you don't want to indulge on all your secrets so some of these other programs start stealing you the secret sauce, because it's working for you. You don't want to give it all away, you don't have to, but you guys have had a ton of success recruiting out there on the west coast, and it's crazy. You wouldn't think someone from Cali would go all the way to Fort Kent, Maine to come play ball, but you guys have had success doing that. What's the secret?
I guess the only secret would be is that I'm from California. I went to a junior college in California for 2 years, Contra Costa College. You can see my banner back there. So especially when it comes to the kids that went through the California Community College system, I was those kids. Last Chance U. I don't know if you've watched that or any of your viewers watch that, but that did a great job this year of kind of breaking down what the California JUCO grind is like. So when I speak with them, I'm coming from a place of complete understanding, very relatable. I can just tell them like, hey, I was in your shoes only a handful of years ago. I'm from where you're from. I want to take you to where I'm at now and where I played. And then outside of that, it's really just what we can offer here, as opposed to a lot of places in California. I mean, we're really affordable. It's an incredible location. We've got some really strong programs. We get to take some unique trips every season. We play in major cities, Boston, New York. We've been to Montreal, Philadelphia, Basketball Hall of Fame, Virginia. I mean, you name it. We go all over the East Coast. We get to play a wide schedule. So we've played Division I teams, a lot of really great Division III teams, NAIA teams. just because our affiliation allows us to kind of do those things. So you just selling them a new experience, you know, 2 or 4 years to go away to school and have an incredible time and play on a competitive team. You know, I think that's pretty appealing. It is a little bit different. It's a little bit cold. It's going to be a little bit far away. It's going to be different from what you're used to, but the experience that you can gain from it once it's all said and done is something that I think is life-changing and can be super rewarding. So there's no secret. It's just, I guess, just in the product.
So not only have you guys had success recruiting out there on the West Coast, but you guys have had success with the program too, right? So mm-hmm. if you could just speak to the success you guys have had over the last couple of years. And then also you talked about affiliation. So you guys are part of the USCAA. So if you could mm-hmm. just speak to that a little bit and some of the teams you play and just shine some light on the program here.
Yeah, of course. So the USCAA is a separate affiliation from the NCAA. It's a separate affiliation from the NAIA. It's made up of all small colleges, pretty much all over the country, really, all the way up north here in Fort Kent, Maine, as far south as Miami, Florida, as far west as Texas, and everywhere in between. There's a lot of schools that we play in Pennsylvania, Virginia, New York State, all throughout New England. And it's sort of hard to explain it. It's really its own entity. But when it comes down to the, you know, when it comes down to it, we got games and everything is, I mean, you can't even notice the difference when you step on the court, I guess is what I'm trying to say. It's very competitive. You know, each sport has its own national tournament, whether it's soccer, volleyball, basketball. They have a small college World Series. They have a small college national track invitational championship. So, you know, it's legitimate and it's competitive, especially when it comes to basketball, men's and women's. I mean, you can find guys that can hoop and young ladies that can hoop everywhere at the gym, at Division I, at the rec center, wherever. So basketball is definitely competitive. We've been fortunate, the women's program, the last couple of years. We've had some success, and I'm really proud of that. Since I've taken over, the last 3 years I've been the head coach, we've made the national tournament for 3 seasons in a row. So that's something I'm really proud of. 2 seasons ago, we had a record of 23-6. We actually made it all the way to the national championship game. Unfortunately, we came up a little bit short, but that's the way it goes sometimes. Last season, we had an incredibly talented roster. I thought we were going to be really, really special, and then the injury bug, it was crazy. We had 2 of our returning All-Americans got hurt before we even got started with season-ending things, and then we couldn't go 3 or 4 days without somebody twisting an ankle or getting a concussion. So it was sort of a wild year last season, but we still made the national tournament, lost in the first round before the whole pandemic broke out. And this year, I'm really optimistic about whenever we get back to playing. I'm excited about our chances. So,
and being part of the USCAA, you get to, it's like you said, you play up and down the East Coast. You go everywhere, and you get to play a lot mm-hmm. of the schools here in Maine too. And you know, don't let the small in the USCAA fool you, right? I mean, you guys are playing good basketball, and when it comes to when you guys match up with these other schools in the state that are D3, mm-hmm. you guys are right there on the same level, right?
Yeah, I would say that the USCA is comparable to Division III in terms of, you know, kind of the athleticism, the speed of the game, things like that. It's real similar to NAIA as well. We're not going to match up too well with Division I teams, although our men's team did beat UMaine a few years ago.
Yep. I was there.
Yeah. And on any given night, you know, it can happen. But for the most part, yeah, the Division III levels is probably where we're at. So. We do, because the USCA allows us to kind of have play whoever we want. Our national tournament seeding is based on a strength of schedule. So that allows us to play a lot of Division III teams, and we're in a good spot. I mean, there's some really great D3 teams in Maine. Husson, who we try and play every year, they've got a great program. St. Joe's, we've been able to play and lose to last couple of years. They've got a great program. So, we get a lot of games, and it's a lot of fun.
You mentioned earlier All-Americans. You got All-Americans in your program. Mm-hmm. I think one of the toughest things is that it's tough to get kids out here. It's tough to get them to stay. But you got All-Americans, and they're sticking around. So what does it say about the program? Like, what is it about the program? What is it about the culture that not only are you getting these kids here and they're playing well, but they're sticking around for more than a year?
Yeah. You know, it's just, it's on them. It's just about the kids themselves. I don't think I have much to do with it, really. It's the kids that want to be successful. It's the kids that within themselves, they want to achieve their goals and they want to, you know, they want to graduate with high marks. They want to be the best players they can be. I'm here to just kind of make sure they stay within the lines and kind of stay focused on what they want to do. And it's really all on them. So, you know, I don't take much credit for it.
So you mentioned that there should be a season. We don't know when yet, but what does the season look like so far from what you guys have planned? Do you guys actually have games lined up, or how's it even looking right now?
Yeah, that is that's a great question. We had a full season ready to go, and then, you know, slowly but surely, every couple of weeks, a new development will come out. So I'm hoping to honor all the games that we have in line for the second semester, our January, February, early March games. And then I've been in touch with other USCA teams to try and get some games in. It's a little bit scary because no one really knows what's going to happen. They might cancel it on us again, you know, in a few more weeks. But then on the flip side, everyone's kind of in a similar situation with trying to find games and, you know, nobody wants to really be scrambling around to try and find them last minute, but something tells me that everyone's going to be kind of scrambling around trying to find them last minute. So we're hoping to get out to Buffalo again. There's some really talented USCA teams that we play there every season. I'm hoping to play some of the USCA teams in Maine again, like Central Maine College, Southern Maine. So you know, it's a lot of uncertainty right now, but I'm confident that we'll be able to get a full or close to a full 20-plus game schedule, and then hopefully a national tournament in end of March.
I thought of this idea last week. We should just create a Maine bubble and just all the Maine colleges for this year. Let's just band together so everyone can get their games in.
So I don't mean to cut you off, but any team from Maine that wants to come to UMFK and play, we've got an excellent motel here in town. We've got a bunch of great places to eat. See what we can do about a guarantee. We welcome anybody who wants to play, and we're also any team within Maine. We'll play anybody, anywhere, anytime. So if there's any coaches out there, we'd love to play.
That's going to be the problem, though. You're probably going to have to go to them. I don't think they're going to come up to Fork, and that's always been the problem. No one wants to make that trip up north.
Yeah, you know, it's worth a shot, though, man. I got to try.
So one thing, too, that got canceled this summer that you guys have started up, I don't know if it's more Tom's thing or if it's a combined thing you two are doing together, the summer basketball tournament or the high school basketball tournament. So that got canceled this past summer, but that would have been what, year three or year four? It's been going for a couple of years now, right?
I want to say it would be the fourth year that we've been doing it. Yeah, it's mostly Coach Bird, but I help him out as much as I can, and it's a great event. It's a great fundraiser for our programs. It's a great opportunity for the kids to play throughout the summer and come up here and enjoy the weather and hang out with one another in our dorms and whatnot. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, and that thing has grown, right? So, I mean, in year one, it was probably like four or eight teams, something small like that. How big was it supposed to be this past summer? Because I saw a bunch of schools that were lined up and supposed to go up there.
Yeah, so I want to say this summer we had close to 20 teams lined up, getting ready to do it. And like you said, the first year we just had mostly county teams. I think Millinocket came up the first year, some of the more local teams. But there was a team from Washington State, I believe.
Oh boy, Bobby Thompson, Everett High. Everett High, he was supposed to come out here.
So we're going nationwide with this thing. Yeah, I know that the – you know, legendary Hall of Fame coach Larry Murphy, his son's team from the far western part of the state has come before. I think they were getting ready to come up again. So it's grown a lot, and it's all the credit goes to Coach Bird. He's really passionate about it. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of preparation, but it's a great time. I think all the coaches that bring their teams up would agree that he does a really good job of organizing everything. I think it's a first class event. So, and it's a real bummer that it couldn't happen, but hopefully next year.
Yeah, absolutely. Cause big time is going to be there. If it happens in 2021, we're going to be there on the scene, but
yeah, full press coverage, absolutely. Behind the scenes, locker room access, all yours, man.
it's good. It's cool for a couple reasons. One, it gives a chance to kids to play in the summertime, which is cool, but it also gives kids from parts of the state that don't ever get the chance to go up there and check it out. Right. And just see the community, see the county, see the valley. Mm-hmm. Then two are on top of that too. Like you guys getting a chance to look at some of these players. I don't know. Is there girls that play in this? Is it just a boys tournament right now?
No, there's been boys and girls teams. And like you said, it does give us a chance to kind of see who's who in the state. And the larger it grows, the more opportunity we're going to get. And it's going to be nothing but good for our program and good for our university, our town, our whole community.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's talk about recruiting here. Let's talk about the challenges of recruiting Maine kids. What are some of the challenges you run into besides location? Like, how come we can't get more Maine kids to go up north? We used to get at least some county kids to stick around, but even that seems to be drying up. So
yeah,
what are some of these challenges? I think I know them, but let's just speak on it.
Yeah, well, I think number one, I'm not from Maine. I think it's pretty clear. I don't know if most people from Maine can smell it on me or whatever it is, but I think they can tell I'm not from Maine. So I think, you know, I think, geez, I don't know how to explain it. I think that hurts me a little bit personally. I think there's a misconception about Northern Maine. I think there's a misconception about Fort Kent that it's like Mars or something. The very first time I was coming up here to go to school, I was with my parents. They were dropping me off at college. You know, we kind of made a road trip out of it, and we stopped at a gas station or something somewhere near Portland. And we kind of said, "Oh, you know, hey, we're going to Fort Kent." Da da da. And the attendant said, "Oh my gosh, like, Fort Kent! Like, you guys be careful up there. Yeah. It's the county." So yeah. Ever since then, I kind of had this. You know, I think people down south have a odd misconception about Fort Kent. I think that, you know, there's so many great teams in the state of Maine, especially for women's basketball. There's so many great and established coaches in Maine for women's basketball. So it's tough for me as a coach to compete with them in the recruiting thing. I think it's tough for our university and our program to compete with those programs. You know, Bowdoin, St. Joe's, Coach Kane at Presque Isle. He's a legendary Hall of Fame coach. Coach Morong at Central Maine, he's had a long track record of success. So, yeah, it's an uphill battle, but I'm not going to stop trying. There's so many talented kids out there. It's just a matter of me being a little bit more persistent, maybe identifying them a little bit earlier, and like I said, selling and promoting what we got up here.
Absolutely. Great university, great education, great basketball. You guys play all the schools pretty much in the state besides D1, besides UMaine. So you guys pretty much have a chance to play against everybody else. Get to travel across the entire country to play. You guys get to make all these great trips. The nightlife in town might not be the best, but you got Quebec, which is like 4 hours away. You got Edmonton, which is like 30 minutes away. You got all these different cool. You can party in Canada, kids. You can go to Canada and have a good time in Canada. All right, that's a great recruit. Well, I don't know if you use that as a recruiting pitch to parents, but
no, not so much. Not so much. I'll let you tell them all about that. I gotta stick to business.
Yeah. Anybody who wants to know more, anyone who wants to know the real scoop about Fort Kent and the perks of it, let me know. Hit me up offline, and I'll give you the full pitch here. But yeah, so hopefully things work out here. This has been a crazy year for everybody, but hoping that things kind of get back to normal. And you guys have a season. Real quick, anything you want to say? Any recruiting pitches you want to get out there, or any misconceptions you want to clear up, or anything at all you want to just put out there for the folks?
Recruiting pitches. You kind of nailed it, man. Small school, you're going to get the personalized attention that you might want or that you might need from professors. I'm sure you can speak more on this. The people in Fort Kent, the local community, it's one of the most kind and caring, places you're ever going to find. I came from a big city in San Francisco, hustle and bustle. People just kind of keep their head down and mind their business. People are going to go out of their way here to help you out, whether it's faculty, staff, someone at the store, whoever it is. They really care about the kids. They really care about all the students, whether they're an athlete or not. So I guess that's kind of the most important thing I could say, that we got something good going here, and it's worth a shot to try and discover it.
It takes some getting used to, right? If you're from out of town, from out of state.
Yeah. It's, you know, when I'm walking to class or when I'm walking to the store, back home, it's, you know, don't make eye contact with anybody, kind of keep your head down, just go from A to B as quick as you can. Fort Kent, people are super friendly, asking how you're doing. If it's snowing outside, you know, they don't even know who you are. They're going to give you a ride or offer to give you a ride. They keep their cars running and their doors unlocked when they go to the grocery store. They just leave their car in the parking lot. Like, back home, the car would be gone in about in no time flat, man. So it does take some getting used to, but once you embrace it, once you open yourself to it, you can't describe it. You can't explain it. It's pretty unbelievable.
It is. It's a special place. Yeah. Another thing I thought of before we get up out of here, hey, give your players some love. So you mentioned All-Americans. Mm-hmm. Talk about who you got coming in this year, what the team looks like.
Of course.
Let's go for it. Let's give them some love.
Yeah, so we've got two seasons ago, Tajere McMahon was a first-team All-American. She was our leading scorer from 2 years ago. She's going to be back and fully healthy for this year. She's going to be a great leader for us. I know she's been getting a lot of girls in the gym working out. Renika Guyton was our leading scorer from last season, close to 18 points per game. They both got incredible quickness and speed. Stephanie Cervantes is coming back. She's going to be a great hustle player for us. She's sneaky with the offensive rebounds. Sophia Rodriguez is also coming back for her senior year. Tremendous athlete, dual sport athlete. She runs track and field for us. Let me see. New players, we've got Sarah from California, who's going to bring some great veteran leadership for us. Ariel is our first freshman from, like I said, Florida. She's going to bring a little bit of everything. Money, we've got a girl named Money, so I think that goes without saying she's going to be Money. Hannah is also from Southern California. She's going to surprise people with her athleticism. KK is our post presence. I'm excited to have her coming back. As soon as I start naming everybody, I don't want to forget people, but I know I'm missing somebody, and it's going to be
local kid, the local kid.
Dez, of course. Dez, probably our most valuable, new recruit coming in, local. Coach Kelly, says really great things about her. I had a chance to watch her up close and personal for a few years now, and I think she's going to help us out a lot. So, hopefully I didn't forget anybody. It's going to be a rough team meeting on Saturday if I forgot somebody.
I'm sure you'll hear about it if you forgot somebody.
Yeah, it's not personal.
And then another thing, too. Yeah, another thing, too, that I want to talk on is we talked about the town and the program. Talk about the environment, home games. You guys, the town comes out, and I had Sam Leo from Farmington on, and he mentioned how small town comes out, supports their team, great home environment, and the jungle, yeah. Maybe it might be slept on. It's one of the best gyms in the entire state, I feel like. It's a great, great, great gym, great atmosphere. Speak to the environment.
Well, we've done a lot in the last couple of years to really beef up our environment. We've got, some lights and cameras and action going on, pregame music and whatnot. There's not a whole lot going on here in the winter. It's pretty cold outside. So when we do get a home game in January, February, we do get a nice turnout. The student support here, since it's such a small school, people really know each other. The students really know each other. They have each other's back. So, you'll see all of our other athletes here. You'll see all the kids come to the games to support their friends. Local town people, will get the VIPs, Legs Labby, and then courtside right next to the water fountain. And it gets hot in there. It gets loud. It gets rowdy. The way we have our bleachers, it's pretty close to that far sideline across from the bench. So for whatever reason, if an opposing fan or an opposing player kind of falls out of bounds or, gets too close to the sideline, they're going to hear something. Could be good, could be bad. I don't know. But, it gets, especially when we play some of the rival teams from Maine, like, Presque Isle, Machias. I have some really fond memories of playing for UMFK and looking through the timeout huddle at just people screaming and yelling. And then now that I'm coaching, just having the support of all of our people in the community and all the other students means a lot. It's motivating for sure.
Mentioned Umpy real quick. What's your win-loss record versus Umpy? I hope it's good. Is it good?
My personal win-loss record against UMaine Presque Isle is 6-0.
That's what we like to hear. That's what we like to hear right there.
Yeah, Coach Kane, he's got some recruits coming in, though, and he's obviously a really well-established coach, so we got to be on the lookout for them moving forward. So I'm on the lookout.
For those that aren't familiar with the county, that's the rivalry right there, Umpy and UMFK, right? That's the intense one.
Yeah, and it's I love going down there. It's our shortest trip of the year. You know, it's only an hour's drive. So we're not exhausted. But when we get to the gym, and they've got a great home environment too, great student section. I love it. I love that matchup every season.
You mentioned Machias too, and they kind of already announced that they're not doing any sports this year, right?
Yeah. Unfortunately, because of everything that happened, they had to make some cuts. But always a great environment there. Their fans got the World Cup vuvuzelas. It's always a bumpy road getting down there, so you might be a little sick to your stomach when you pull up to the gym. But they always had a really fun environment too.
Yeah, but no better environment than UMFK on a weeknight when up becomes town, or a rivalry game on the weekend. The jungle is rocking.
Yeah,
one of the best memories I have from my childhood is going to games, and they had an in-house DJ. All right, so I think we got to get a DJ set up at one of these home games this year. You know who to contact, and we can make that happen.
I know a good one.
Real quick, before we get up anything, Fletch, anything you want to get off your chest? Anything you want to plug? Anything you got going on?
Wear a mask and vote when the time comes. State of Maine, you can register on the same day, I think. So I'm not going to tell you who to vote for, but make sure you exercise your right to vote. Young, old, college kid, you got to go out there and vote, and just wear the mask. And it's a little bit inconvenient, but it's gonna help. So do those two things, and you'll be all set.
This guy is wise beyond his years. Already going into year four, and only how old? You're a young guy.
Mid-20s still, mid-20s. Not quite 30 yet.
Yeah.
Getting there, though.
But it's good to see the program in good hands and the program doing good things. That's what we like to see, because it's a proud history. You know, ever since the 2000s, we've had so many players come through there and have so much success. So it's good to see the program in good hands and on the right path. And hopefully COVID cooperates and you guys have a season. So we'll have to check in once the season gets going and just see how things are going. But best of luck to you guys. And thanks for coming on and doing this. Appreciate it, man.
Yeah, thank you so much, man. You're doing great things.
Appreciate that. That's going to be it for this week's episode of Big Time Hoops, the podcast. Make sure you're checking out all of our previous episodes on YouTube, Facebook, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, wherever you can get podcasts, you can find this one. So check them out, and we'll see you next week with another Big Time episode of Big Time Hoops, the podcast.